Well, that's a sermon right there. Pastor Chris leaned up and asked me if I was going to preach that fast today. So I'm not sure I can keep up, but I do want to talk today about a different spirit, a different spirit. If you'll look at our spiritual ancestors, God's people in the Old Testament, there were three seasons of their history, three. And this is true for each one of us as God's people today. Three different chapters in our life. The first was Egypt. It's over here, Egypt. It was bondage. It was slavery. God's people were not free. They had to serve an evil leader, Pharaoh. It was a type of the devil. Now, all of us remember what it was like to be in Egypt, to be in bondage, to be in sin, to not be free, to not know God, to be separated from God and His promise. And then all the way on the other side was the exact opposite of Egypt. This was the promised land in the Old Testament. This is the season where when we step into it, every promise God has made to us becomes real. We receive His best when we're in the promised land. But now there's that middle chapter in the history of God's people in the Old Testament and in many of our lives as well. It was the wilderness. Now the Bible says it only took 11 days to walk by foot from Satan's bondage, Egypt, all the way to the fullness of every promise God has made. You could have walked it by foot in 11 days, but it took God's people 40 years in the wilderness. Many of us are in a wilderness today. Oh, we know what it is to be set free. The devil is defeated. We know it. We've been liberated from bondage. But yet there are promises God has made to us that we've not yet stepped into and received. We're all on a journey headed that way, ultimately heaven. But many are stuck in the wilderness. And I'm going to talk to you about a familiar passage of Scripture in the Old Testament today. But before I read a verse of Scripture, I want to put 10 names on the screen. These are 10 names, and you don't need to write them down. I'll tell you why. Now, they are in the Bible. Their names are recorded in the Bible, but you don't need to write them down. I'm going to try to pronounce them. These are not familiar names. Shemua, Egal, Gadiel, Amiel, Nabi, Shaphat, Palti, Gadi, Sethur, and Giuel. 10 names. Don't write them down. What if I told you that each one of these men was a leader? Well, you would think, well, I ought to write that down then. If they were leaders, I should remember their name. Their names are written in the Bible. But we don't remember them. They were 10 men, each one a leader in their tribe in Israel. But these 10 men failed an important test that we will face today and hopefully we will pass. You know, we have never read a book about any one of these men. We don't sing any songs in church about any one of these men, even though every one of these 10 men were leaders over their tribes in Israel in the Old Testament. We don't name any of our children after these 10 men. These names are not worth remembering, other than being recorded in Scripture. They are forgotten by history, and there is a reason. Can you imagine going to the doctor, one of you pregnant women, and the doctor giving you the good news, oh, you're going to have twins. You're going to have two boys. And you and your husband celebrate that good news. You're going to have twin boys. And you start going over names and you say, well, let's name them Shaphat and Nobby. Oh, we don't name our children after these 10 men. These are the 10 leaders over their tribes of Israel that were among the 12 men sent by Moses when they were in the wilderness here. They had left Egypt. They were free from bondage. And they were on the way to a land God had promised them that was rich and wealthy, and every need they could ever have would be met in that new land. But they're stuck here in the wilderness. And while they were here in the wilderness, as soon as they stepped into the wilderness, Moses said, hey, it's only 11 days to walk over there. I'm going to send 12 spies from Israel. And the Bible says he picked one leader from every tribe. These 10 men were the 10 that came back after spying out the promised land with a bad report. But the two men, the two spies that went with these 10 that came back with a good report, we do remember their names. They were Joshua and Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, it talks about one of those two. God says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Some translations say Caleb had a different attitude. And it was so different, it made the difference between being able to go in and enjoy God's best or being forbidden entrance into the promised land. The 10 that brought back an evil report were never able to go into the promises of God. But the two, Joshua and Caleb, that brought back a good report, full of faith, no fear, full of faith, they were allowed to go in to the promises of God. Now, God's people were camping out in the wilderness, no longer in Egypt, but not yet enjoying God's best. That's where many of us are today. We're no longer in Egypt, but we still have some promises God has made to us that we've not received yet. Probably if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if that would be you, every hand would go up. We're still on a journey, and we're still headed toward God's best for us. Moses sent out these 12 spies. Each one was a leader. And he said, go and inspect the land to assess its fruitfulness. Come back after you've spied out the land, he said to these 12 men, and tell us whether there are a few people there or many people there. Come back and tell us whether the people who live in that land are strong or if they are weak. Come back and tell us if the cities are protected by high, thick walls or not. And Moses said to these 12 men, the spies he sent in to the promised land, he said, bring back some of the fruit they grow over there. So these 12 spies, the 10 names who were forgettable, plus Joshua and Caleb, who had a different attitude, all 10 came back. All 10 had seen the same thing. They spent 40 days spying out the land, inspecting the land. And they returned, all 12 of them, but they came back with mixed reviews. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26, it said, they brought back word and showed them the fruit of the land. They brought back word. They brought back word. They were carriers of a word. Each of us are carriers of a word. Now all 12 saw the very same thing. And all 12 brought back a word about what they saw. But yet 10 of the 12 brought back a fearful word, a bad report, an evil report. It instilled fear among God's people. But the two who had a different attitude, Joshua and Caleb, they brought back a good report that inspired faith among God's people. Now, all 12 came back and said, the land is rich. It's flowing with milk and honey. And the fruit is huge over there. They brought back one cluster of grapes. And the cluster, just one cluster of grapes, was so large and so heavy, they said, we had to cut down a branch of a tree. And it took two of our men with a pole between them just to bring one cluster of grapes. They said it was so impressive, the fruit in this land where God is giving us, that the name of that grapevine, the territory, the region where that grapevine was, where we brought this cluster of grapes from, was called Eshkol, but we changed the name of the place from what they called it to a place we call Cluster. Oh, they were all impressed with the wealth in the land. It was a rich land. They all saw it. Milk and honey flowing. Grapes that were huge. But they said the land is filled with giants. The people are strong, not weak. And the cities are protected with high walls, hard to penetrate. And then they said, all of our enemies are living over there now. There are the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. And did we mention there are a lot of giants living there? And so 10 out of the 12 instilled fear among God's people. Yeah, God made a promise to you. Yeah, that's God's best for you, but no way, no way. So many odds, so many obstacles. There's no way we can overcome all of the challenges necessary to enjoy living there. All of our enemies live there. And so an uproar began among the people. All of God's people were stirred up and upset. And in Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 30, it said, now Caleb, he's the one with a different spirit. He was the one who had a different attitude. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, here's what Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him, those 10 men whose names we forgot already, we don't write books on them, we don't sing songs about them, we don't name our sons after them. They said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we are. The next verse, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Most translations call it an evil report. Now look, there were 12 spies that Moses sent in to inspect the land. Two spies, the ones with a different spirit, a different attitude, came back saying, look at the size of these grapes. But 10 out of the 12 came back saying, look at the size of those giants. Two came back and said, well, we all saw the same thing. All 12 of us saw exactly the same thing. And two said, let us go up at once and take possession of the land. God has promised it to us. This is our window of opportunity. At once, let's go up and get it. We're able to do this. Two said that, but 10 said, no, we're not. We're not able to possess all the promises God has given us. And so 10 brought back an evil report. Now listen, they all saw the same thing. All 12 spies saw the same thing, but gave two different reports. What report will you believe about the promises of God that's ahead for you. That's important. Are you going to listen to the majority, the 10 out of 12 who spreads a bad report and instills fear in you? Yeah, God might have said that to you. God might have promised all that to you, but you can't overcome all the obstacles to get there and enjoy that. There's no way you can go in and enjoy life over there. Well, too many enemies. They're bigger than you. They're stronger than you. Or are you going to believe the good report and say, God has promised it to us? We believe he's telling us the truth. Let us go in at once and take possession of the promise of God. We're able to do this. Come on, let's go. Which report will you believe? Because the report you believe will determine the action you take. Our bishop, Houston Miles, who's 90 years old today, many years ago made a statement, and I've quoted him, and I'll always remember it. He said, there are two groups of people in the world. Two groups. One group says, we can do this. The other group says, we cannot do this. And Bishop Miles said, both groups are right. Both groups are right. Because the report you believe will determine the action you take. 10 of the 12 spies, 10 leaders in Israel, said there's no way. These giants will eat us for lunch. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33 says, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And listen, this is so very important, the wording right here. It said, we, these 10 who brought back an evil report, they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Did you get that? The wording of that truth right there. In other words, we looked in the mirror and we looked tiny as a grasshopper in our own sight compared to the giants. And because we saw ourselves pitiful and puny and weak like a grasshopper, that's the way the giants saw us. Your enemy will see you the same way you see yourself. So when you look in the mirror, see the man or the woman God created you to be. Hear the promises of God he's given you and believe the good report that you're able to go in and take possession of it. Will there be obstacles? Yes. Will there be giants to conquer? Of course, this is a real world. But it's up to each of us individually to decide whether we're able to do it or whether there's no way we can do it. Whether we believe the good report, which is a minority report, that comes to us by those who have a different spirit, a different attitude, or whether we will be defeated, not even try. They said, there's no way we can go in there. And the problem was because most of God's people saw themselves like a puny, pitiful, defeated weakling. And because they did, the giants in the land saw them the same way they saw themselves. There's a powerful principle there. What happened next is no surprise. The majority of God's people believed the evil report. Isn't it sad? You can have a good report and an evil report. All 12 see the same thing, and yet 10 spread an evil report. Only 2 out of the 12 give good news and boost confidence and encourage faith to possess God's promise. So the Bible says, you can read all of this in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. The Bible says, the people, all of the congregation of the people, wept and cried all night long. And they complained against Moses. They said things like this. I'm not making this up. It's in Numbers 14. They said, oh, I wish we had died while we were over there serving the devil. Why did Moses lead us out here to die? And then they said, let us ditch Moses and let us select for ourselves a new leader that will take us back to Egypt. Read it, Numbers 14. All because of an evil report. Believing the bad instead of receiving the good news and taking action on it. But Caleb and Joshua said, don't be afraid of the giants. The Lord is with us, not them. They will be like bread to us. In other words, we're going to eat them for breakfast. Boy, now there's something stirring right there in God's people when they can get to a place to where God said it. And by George, I'm going to believe the best of what he said. If he said, this is his will for us, then let's go in at once and possess his best. We're more than conquerors. We're well able to do this. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, a different attitude than the majority of the leaders that brought back an evil report. And Joshua and Caleb said, those giants, they may look big to us in the natural, but their protection has departed from them because God is with us. That was a good sermon he preached, don't you think? I mean, you would think that would have aroused the children of Israel. They would have gotten on their feet and saluted and lined up and ready to march in. But you know what it said? After Joshua and Caleb preached that great faith-filled sermon, quote, all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Ooh. Hard group to preach to. Hard group. It got to such a crisis point. I mean, every promise God had ever made was on the line. It hung in the balance now. And such confusion among the congregation of the people of God, the majority of them wanting to go back into sin, go back into bondage, go back into slavery, go back into Egypt. They were crying and weeping all night long, and in the morning they complained to Moses. And a good sermon wasn't enough for them. After the sermon was over, let's pick up some stones and let's stone Joshua and Caleb to death. Then God and Moses had some face time. Oh, they didn't have iPhones and iPads, but they had some face-to-face time, God and Moses. And God was upset with his people. I mean, God has a right to be upset with us from time to time. God has every legitimate, justified reason to be upset with me and with you some of the time. And God said to Moses, face to face, how long will these people refuse to believe me? God literally said, how long should I put up with these unbelieving people? And God threatened. He said, he used this word to Moses. He said, I will disinherit them. And he said to Moses, but now Moses, I'm going to spare you and I'm going to raise up a new generation of people that will be a greater group of people than you have now. And Moses pleaded with God. Moses, face to face with God, challenged him and said, oh God, no, don't disinherit your people. Because the giants in that land and all of our enemies that live over there, they've heard about you. And they've heard about your people. And if you disinherit your people, they will think it's because you, God, were not able to get your people into the promised land. And because Moses pleaded with God on behalf of the people, God relented. And the mercy of God kicked in. And he said, okay, I'm not going to strike them with pestilence like I could do. But God said, I will say this, any of those who have doubted and disbelieved and rejected my promise, they will not be able to enter in. And so instead of taking 11 days to walk from hell to heaven, from Egypt, which is sin and bondage, into the promised land where God's best life he's ever planned for you is within hand's reach, that available, that accessible. Instead of it taking 11 days, it took them 40 years. 40 years to wander around in the wilderness. And during that 40 years, 10 of the 12 spies died. Do you know which 10 it was? Anybody want to take a guess? It was those 10 that we don't sing about, we don't write books about, no plays, no theatrical productions about any of those. And Naphtali and Shaphat and the others in that group. So God had to wait long enough for all of the disbelieving, doubting members of the congregation of Israel to die, including the 10 leaders that had gone in and seen everything everybody else, but brought back an evil report. They brought back word. They brought back word. They were carriers of a word. We are all carriers of a word. And the word we bring is a powerful word. So let's be careful as we bring back word to those who listen to us. Let's be careful not to instill fear and doubt and disbelief, but let's speak a good report that everyone who hears and believes us can get from where they are in the wilderness into the promised land and enjoy the best life God has prepared for them. Now, all of the 10 spies that brought back an evil report, they died along with everyone in the congregation that believed the evil report. Joshua and Caleb, the two with a different spirit, a different attitude. They saw the same thing, but their interpretation of what they saw was filtered through the promise of God. Full of faith, they lived. And as the old generation died off one by one, new children were born into the children of Israel. And so the day finally came, it took 40 years, when everybody who had doubted and disbelieved and rejected God by believing an evil report were no longer on the scene. They were dead and buried. And now it was just Joshua and Caleb later on in years with a new generation of people who trusted God enough for the courage to walk across the border, leave the wilderness finally, and enter into the promised land. Now, the last scene of Caleb's life, the last time he's mentioned in scriptures, over in the book of Joshua. And he was just now stepping into the promised land. He had waited for 40 years. He'd been faithful for 40 years. He was 85. And at 85, years of age, he said, I'm just as strong now at age 85 as I was when I was 45. And he looked at the giants that lived on a particular mountain. And at 85 years of age and yet still full of faith and supernatural strength at that age, he said, give me that mountain. I'll go Kill every giant that lives on that mountain. I can take that one. Give me that one. That mountain belongs to me. At 85. We've got some people in the church right here now. This is a good word for you. How many of you are 85 years old? Raise your hand. Or Daddy, you ought to raise your hand because you're so close. Come on, raise your hand. There, we got some. We got a few back there on the back row. That's a good word for my daddy and for Gene Keys and any of the rest that are 85 or close to it. You can be 85 years of age and still not be afraid of a giant and realize God still has a mountain for you to conquer. And the great reward that will come when you obey God full of faith and step into the land that is rich and plentiful. 85 years of age and just as strong as he was when he was a young man, ready to fight the giants to get the mountain God promised him. And so, what report will you believe? Will you believe the good report that you're well able? Or will you believe the evil report that there's no way you can get what God promised you? It's for other people better than you. It's for people that haven't blown it like you have. It's for people who are perfect, not you. Isn't that sad? What a crock. Thank God that the Bible is filled with men and women that were flawed and imperfect, and yet God chose to use them in great ways. But the Bible says this about Caleb, my servant Caleb. God called him my servant. Now, a servant is someone who serves a person or a purpose of a higher rank. A servant is required to humble himself, like John the Baptist did and said, I must be the one to decrease now because he is the one who increases. God said, my servant, Caleb. A servant is someone who does not put their own interest in front of others. Well, I want things to be this way. After all, this is my opinion. No, a servant. In Philippians, Paul says, puts the interest of other people ahead of their own interest. That's a servant. And God called Caleb, my servant, Caleb. And he says he has a different spirit. Caleb and Joshua too, for that matter, had a different attitude. Oh, they saw the same thing. They saw the giants. They weren't so impressed with the giants. They were impressed with the grapes and the milk and the honey and the wealth in the land. So what's impressing you today? Is it something that will instill fear? Are you afraid of what you'll deal with between where you are right now in your wilderness and the moment you step into the promises of God? Is it not worth the fight for you to fight every giant that stands between you where you are now in your wilderness and where you want to be, where God has reserved a place for you in the wealth of his promises? I say it's worth it. I say, let's believe the good report. Let's believe the report of the Lord. Let's believe what Caleb said. Oh, we're well able to go in there and take that land. Let's get up right now. Let's go in at once. We can do this. I want to be in that small crowd. I want to be in that small crowd. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Father, thank you.